This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Good evening and welcome to Monsters Among Us. I'm your guide, Derek Hayes. It's about time we met up again. Welcome back to another spine-tingling installment. I have something fun lined up for tonight. An unconventional subject, a perplexing phenomenon that can literally happen to any of us. Because you see, time is a funny thing. I swear it was just a few months ago that I built a little sound booth out of moving blankets in my garage and recorded the very first episode of Monsters Among Us. But in reality, that was nearly 9 years ago. And somehow, at the same time, that exact moment feels like it was decades in the past. So you see, time has a funny way about it. And as you're about to learn tonight, sometimes it even has a tendency to come up missing. So here with the first of many missing time and time slip stories is Sydney in the state of Wisconsin.
Hi, Derek and everyone listening. My name is Sydney and I live in southeastern Wisconsin, Kenosha to be specific. At first, I wasn't sure whether or not I wanted to call in my story, but after listening to, you know, a lot of recent episodes and hearing a lot of stories about missing time or time skips or, I don't know, rips in the time-space continuum, I feel more confident and empowered to share. So, my story happened about a year ago. In like April or May 2021, my boyfriend and I were living in a different apartment than the one we are currently living in. And I remember this was a Saturday morning. My boyfriend's alarm clock went off at 10 a.m. because he works on Saturdays and I don't. So his alarm clock goes off at 10 a.m., you know, wakes us both up. It's a beautiful sunny day. Our apartment got a lot of natural light because we had a lot of windows. And so, you know, he gets up and he starts getting, you know, dressed and ready for the day. And I'm just laying in bed because I have nowhere to be. And I remember I'm laying on my right side and I'm propped up on my right elbow, phone in my right hand, you know, scrolling through Twitter, Facebook, as people tend to do when they wake up. My boyfriend gets dressed and he goes around the corner from our bedroom down a little like curve in the front hallway to the bathroom. To, you know, do whatever, brush his teeth and so on. So I'm just scrolling social media and I happen to take a peek at his alarm clock and it reads that it is 10:20 in the morning. And, you know, he's got to get out the door and moving by 10:30 to get to work on time. And so I'm listening for him, and I realize that from the bedroom, I can hear in the bathroom just straight running water, but I don't hear like any sounds of movement, splashing, like someone's brushing their teeth or washing their hands. So I decide to get up out of bed and maybe knock on the door, see if he's doing okay. So I get up out of bed and I'm calling for him. I'm like, you know, hey, where are you at? Are you okay? Like, what's going on? Hello. I walk out of our bedroom door frame and I'm rounding the corner to the bathroom. Now, as I mentioned previously, it's a beautiful, bright, sunny day. Our apartment gets a ton of natural light from the windows. The moment that I round the corner to walk into the bathroom, it is pitch black. No sunlight, nothing. As if there was a blackout or something. Just absolutely no light. And I can see from my vantage point, the bathroom door creaked open, totally dark. He's not in there. No signs of life whatsoever. And I start to get a little scared, of course. And I'm calling out to my boyfriend, like, hey, where are you? What's going on? Like, where are you? I take a couple footsteps backward, back to look into our bedroom. And as I, you know, peer through the door to our bedroom, I can see my boyfriend is fast asleep in bed. And I take a look at his alarm clock, and it reads that it's 1:30 in the morning. And I'm just thinking, what in the world is happening? Like, did I dream waking up? I don't understand. So I'm calling out to my boyfriend, like, hey, do you know what's going on? Hello? I'm taking a few steps towards him in the bed, and I'm reaching my hand out. And just as I'm about to, like, touch his shoulder and try to shake him awake and ask him if he knows what's going on, the moment I'm about to touch him, suddenly I am back laying in bed, phone in hand, screen still lit up, on Facebook or whatever, propped up on my right side, on my right elbow, bright as daylight. I take a look at the alarm clock again, and it's still 10:20 in the morning. And I'm like freaking out, kind of breathing heavy, feeling a little sweaty. Like, what just happened? What just happened? Did I fall back asleep? No, I don't think I fell back asleep. That felt so real. Like, what is going on? I am so sure I did not fall asleep and dream all of that, because right as I don't know, find myself back in bed with my phone still in my hand, my boyfriend comes back through our bedroom door and he goes, I'm right here. He heard me calling out to him. For all I know to him, I was just calling from the bedroom, but I don't talk in my sleep. I don't sleepwalk. I don't think that I fell asleep because it was still 10:20 when I looked back at the clock, like it was before this whole thing happened. I don't do drugs. I don't smoke. I don't drink. I don't do any of that. And I tried to explain to my boyfriend, you know, I was here, but then it was 1:30 in the morning, but then it was 10 again. And he was just super confused, but trying to be understanding. And it just scared me so bad. I didn't tell anybody about this until about 6 months after it happened. So my theory is some sort of time skip in the time-space continuum. I don't know. I'd love to hear your thoughts. I don't think it was any sort of, like, mirrored men situation. I don't even like to speak of them because they creep me out so bad. But yeah, I think I might have skipped through time. But anyway, thank you for listening, Derek. Love the podcast. Keep up the good work. Bye.
Hello, Sydney. I mean, thank you, Sydney, for calling in. Now, I don't necessarily know how to categorize this one, but I have no doubt that it belongs here. Because unless Sydney dreamt this entire series of events, and still doesn't realize it, time was somehow affected, altered, or simply slipped. And time slip, missing time, temporal displacement, a rift in time, whatever you want to call it, tonight's episode is chock full of stories just like Sydney's here. So let's take a quick break, and when I return, more missing time. We'll be right back.
Six times and forced three turnovers. you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Are you tired of your old bathtub taking up space in your bathroom?
Now, next up, we venture to the UK, where Katie has been waiting for some time.
Hi, Derek. It's Katie from Cambridge in England. I'm just getting all my stories together to tell you. And this is something that happened to my parents in the early 70s. So I think they'd either just got married or it was a few years after. So it was at least 1970, 71 or 72. And the two of them went down to a place called Woolacombe in Devon. And it's a lovely coastal village. I've been there a few times on holidays as a kid. And around the corner, up a hill, the next village along from Woolacombe is called Morthoe. Now, my parents didn't have any money. They got the train down to their honeymoon or their holiday, whatever it was, and they had to walk everywhere. So Mum tells me about how steep this hill was to get up to the next village of Morthoe, because, you know, they had to walk everywhere and it was a struggle to get up. So they tell me that they went to a pub for lunch, and I've actually been to this pub. I think it's called the Chichester Arms, if I recall. I actually took a Polaroid of it when I was about 11 because they told me the story growing up and I was obsessed by it. I thought it was brilliant. And they went in the pub for lunch. They swear blind that they had a lemonade or a tomato juice. They were not drinking. And because they were near Cornwall, Mum got a Cornish pasty, Dad had fish and chips. It was something like that. They had different things to eat and they didn't have any alcohol. So this makes it harder to explain why they both hallucinated or, you know, shared the same delusion or whether they actually had a time slip. They came out of the pub after their lunch and it was many, many, many meters above sea level. Like I said, it was a pretty steep hill, struggled to get the car up, struggled to walk up it. And when they came out, the sea had risen and it was almost flooding the pub and the local businesses. They described the sea as lapping at doorways, doorsteps. People were in their shops, you know, their bakeries and their sort of souvenir shops, just going about their business, not seeming to care that there's water coming in. People were walking up the hill, coming out of the water. I did ask my parents, what were they wearing? Were they, you know, in Victorian bathing gear? And they just said they don't remember. They didn't pay any attention to what the people were doing or what they were wearing because, you know, their minds were so boggled by the fact that there was water everywhere and the place had flooded by tens or hundreds of meters because they were so high up from the sea. They just said they couldn't believe that nobody seemed to care that there was water everywhere. No one seemed to mind that they were getting wet or that their houses or businesses were about to flood. They just thought, whoa, this is crazy. You know, it must be high tide. This must happen every day. They're so used to it. So they, you know, went about their business, went back to wherever they were staying and went home. I think it was a year or 2 years later, they'd been telling their brothers about this. You know, you'll never guess what. There's a place in Devon. It's so weird. You know, it floods every day. And it got to the point where literally they said, let's go back next year with you two. So my mum's brother and my dad's brother came along. And they really were curious about this crazy place where the, you know, the town floods every single day and nobody cares. So they went to the place, they had lunch in the pub, they came out about the same time of day and everything was normal. It was dry, the sea was where it should be, which is not even in view of the pub, it's so far down the cliff. And they thought, oh, that's strange, you know, maybe it was just something that only happened last year or only happened on certain dates. Anyway, the two brothers were kind of, you know, ribbing them for it, saying, all right, you know, drag us 8 hours on a train down to this place and nothing happens. So, and it got so bad that they ended up going to like the local church and speaking to the vicar there, the priest, and saying, we're not going mad, are we? This place does flood every day or you know, it's flooded in the past. And this guy, this vicar, ended up saying, no, of course not. It's not flooded for a couple of hundreds of years. You know, it's so, so high up above sea level that there has not been a flood since, you know, 100 or 200 years ago. And back when it did flood, it was catastrophic because there's so many shops, houses, other buildings, farms on the way up to this pub from where the sea level is that, you know, so many people were affected by it. It was a massive, massive catastrophe. So there you go. Time slip? I don't know. My parents would always say, you know, that remember when we went back in time, or let me tell you about the time we went back in time. This is one of those stories that my dad loves. My dad is obsessed with and he loves telling it. My mum, not so much. If you catch her on the wrong day, she doesn't want to speak about it. She doesn't understand it, doesn't like it, doesn't want to talk about it. But it's just funny to me that they were so sure this happened that they literally went back on another holiday the next year with witnesses, you know, under the proviso that guys come and see this, you won't believe it. It's an expensive way to fool a couple of guys if that's your game. You know, they didn't have much money, like I said, and it's a long way from London to go all the way down to Devon at the bottom of the UK. So make of that what you will, but that's their story. I hope you enjoyed it and maybe can offer some explanation because they are baffled and they have been for 50 years. But there you go. Love the show and look forward to hearing more. Cheers.
Thanks, Katie, for calling in. Now, I love a story like this. A tale full of details, dates, exact locations, recordable events. A researcher's dream. In this example, a flood in Morneau in the early 1970s at a place called the Chestershire Arms Tavern. By the way, they have a nice, robust menu. I link to it in the show notes. But the point is, when we have proper information, we can properly dive in. And that's exactly what Delaney and I did. And I bet it doesn't surprise Katie at all to know that we didn't really find anything either. Not that matched those dates, anyway. But the area is actually known to flood every 50 to 100 years. But like Katie said, in the lower elevations. Not necessarily the parts of the village that Katie was referring to. Because parts of Morneau are well over 800 feet above sea level. But that doesn't mean floods don't happen there. Because at least one did. And it left a trail of destruction that may have been so unsettling that a ghostly version of the event still replays there from time to time. Now Delaney found the following in the North Devon Journal, issue date June 7th, 1959. A thunderstorm was accompanied by large hail, some 3 inches in circumference, breaking every window in the village that faced northeast, and causing great damage to crops and gardens. The storm lasted about an hour and extended over an area of 4 square miles. Thousands of tons of earth were washed into the sea. In one cottage, water was up to the window level, and a grandmother and 2 children were rescued. So perhaps it was some sort of residual memory of that massive flood that your parents saw, Katie. Or maybe they did slip into another time or place. Or even both. Whatever the cause, it made for a great story. And we can't thank you enough for taking the time to share it here with us. Now, folks, don't forget that if you have a story you would like me to share here on the program, give my hotline a call at 888-608-NIGHT. That's 888-608-NIGHT. Or you can shoot me an email with a voice memo to monstersamonguspodcast@gmail.com. And don't forget, I'm accepting photos, videos, and audio as well. We cover some of that stuff over on our social media accounts. So just shoot me an email. Again, that address is monstersamonguspodcast@gmail.com. And trust me when I say, we're dying to hear from you. Now it's time to hear from tonight's next caller. Please join me in welcoming Anonymous from the state of Ohio.
Hey, Derek. I'm out here in Ohio, pretty close to Lake Erie, outside of Cleveland. And I got kind of a weird one for you, but it's pretty much the only unexplainable thing that's ever happened to me in my life, and I experienced it with someone else, which I think adds some more value to it. So when I was young, I would say around middle school, 7th, 8th grade, me and my friend, our whole lives were skateboarding, and we would spend the night at each other's houses, and at my house in particular, across the street was a gas station, and we used to go over there late at night and skate it. And one night, we were going to skate, and we walked out my front door, and I don't know how else to explain it other than I experienced what I would describe as someone shining a light in my face. Like if you've ever been pulled over by a policeman and they shine their flashlight right in your face, or a bright LED, almost to the point where you can't look directly at it. You have to squint your eyes or look away. And I would say it felt like this went on for a couple seconds, and then it stopped. And I looked at my friend, and he was looking at me too with the same perplexed view on his face. And we both asked each other, "Did you see that?" And we had both saw the same exact thing or experienced the same thing. And even though it wasn't really scary or anything, it didn't really stick out to us at the time. When we had gone back home, I would say it was at least 25 to 35 minutes later. And to our knowledge and recollection, all we had done was walk across the street, had this happen to us, walked back across the street, and came home. There really was nothing else that happened, but like I said, this was the only crazy thing that's ever happened to me in my life that I could not explain and that somebody else also experienced. Again, this was in probably the early 2000s in Northeast Ohio near Cleveland and Lake Erie. Thanks.
Now who here is thinking what I'm thinking? Here come the men in black. Because it sounds like our caller here just might have had a run-in with the movie version of these well-dressed mystery men. But with all jokes aside, it is difficult not to associate that strange flash of light with our caller's missing time. You'd have a tough time convincing me the two weren't somehow connected. But I'm afraid that's the only connection I can make. A simple pop culture reference. But we do thank you, caller, for sharing this strange, yet intriguing entry.
It was not a surprise.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
It's easy to find the right person right away.
So great news today. I don't know if you saw the story on my...
Now, if you would, please welcome to the program, Stephanie, out of Washington State.
Hi, Derek. My name is Stephanie, and I have recently discovered your podcast. I grew up in Wenatchee, Washington, and when I graduated high school, I began attending college at Central Washington University in Ellensburg, Washington. There are 2 routes to get from Wenatchee to Ellensburg. One involves going over a mountain pass. The other involves a slightly longer route that takes 1.5 hours and is 84 miles long, according to Google Maps. I usually drove the longer route that took me through George Washington and onto the Interstate 90, down over the Columbia River, through Vantage, and then to Ellensburg. I spent a lot of time driving back and forth between Wenatchee and Ellensburg. This often led to me driving late at night with little sleep, and I realized that was not smart. On this particular night, it was in the fall of 2008, and I had stayed in Wenatchee much later than I should have. I probably left around 2 or 3 in the morning. I had texted my friend as I left town that I would let her know when I arrived safely at my apartment at school. It was a rough drive. I was very tired. I remember most of the drive. I remember turning onto I-90 at George and driving along the interstate for the while. The next thing I know, I am parked at my apartment and I am texting my friend that I have arrived safely. When I looked at the timestamps, I realized it only took me 45 minutes from when I left Wenatchee to when I arrived at my apartment. At the time, I thought it was hilarious because I thought that meant I just drove really fast. Way too fast. But after listening to your podcast and the others who have talked about missing time, it's made me reevaluate this experience. I only remember 50 miles of the 84-mile drive. Either I am the luckiest person to have fallen asleep and somehow driven 34 miles while sleeping at over 100 miles an hour to make it to my destination in half the time it should have taken, or I don't know what happened. I'm curious to see if even you might have a logical answer for this one, Derek, because I've got nothing. I'll just be thankful I survived and that I hopefully freaking learned and do not do that again. So far, I haven't. I hope this story is useful for you. And as I make it through more of your episodes, I'm hoping I can provide you with more entertaining tales. I love your podcast. Thank you so much for doing what you do.
Thank you, Stephanie. You know, this reminds me of something that happened to me when I was in college. My friend sold me his old car when he bought a new one. I was broke at the time, so scoring a $600 vehicle that actually ran was nothing short of amazing. It was a 1988 Cutlass Supreme Bro-Am Edition. But here was the big problem. It was the ugliest color of brown you've ever seen, inside and out. So my dad helped me paint it one weekend, gunmetal gray, and then we dyed the interior a burgundy color. It didn't look too bad for a $600 vehicle. Anyway, the point here is that it was a 3.5-hour drive back to school the day after we painted it. It was a route I knew well and took often, and I knew I needed to fuel up at least once somewhere along the drive. I even had one or two gas stations picked out that I always stopped at. Well, this particular time, with a fresh coat of paint, I was able to not only travel the entire distance on one tank, but there was still something like a quarter tank left by the time I rolled into Bowling Green. Which means I nearly doubled my gas mileage on that trip. And you know, the next trip home, it was right back to having to stop at least once. So whatever the effect was, it was not lasting. And I never could explain that one. So I guess in some small way, I understand the confusion that you're feeling, Stephanie. Where did the time go? Well, we thank you again for calling in and sharing your tale with us, Stephanie. Just like the rest of tonight's entries, it sure was a weird one. Now, folks, before I push play on this next one, one last reminder that everything in our shop is 20% off, at least for the next few days. So visit monstersamonguspodcast.com and click the shop tab to take full advantage of the sale. All right. So next up is an anonymous entry submitted from the state of Montana.
Hi, Derek. I'm calling to you from Montana. I am a teacher, and every morning all year, I have left for work at exactly 7:50, which gives me enough time to walk out to my car and drive like 2 miles away to my work. Well, the past 2 days, I've left at 7:50, and I've noticed that right as I'm turning off my street, which is one block from my house, the clock says 7:55. And there's no way walking the 24 feet from my house to my car and driving a block should take me 5 minutes. So when I went home yesterday, I was like, okay, well, maybe my clocks in the house and the clock in the car are off. So I checked, and they're all showing the same time. So I'm like, okay, well, maybe I'm not leaving when I think I am. I'm just going to leave earlier. So this morning, I left at 7:45, walked the 24 feet to my car, got in my car, drove the one block to turn onto the main drag, and it was 7:55 again. This time, I lost 10 minutes doing that tiny distance. So at this point, I'm convinced I'm in some kind of time blip just in front of my house, where I'm going to be doomed until I leave on maternity leave to just be running late to work every day, because apparently I can only turn on to the main drag at 7:55 exactly, and I need more than 5 minutes to do the last distance. I am pulling up to work right now when I'm supposed to be there, and I'm barely here on time. So I'm just convinced at this point I am living in a time slip of some sort in front of my house. But I thought I'd share that you guys might get a kick out of the fact that the universe has decided I will be habitually running late for the next couple of months. Anyways, keep up the good work. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, caller. It's interesting to know that these instances can manifest in shorter increments as well. And you know, having lived and worked in Los Angeles for a decade before moving to the mountains, I think you can properly market this little time slip. Back then, I would have paid big money to cut my commute in half. And I know there are many others out there that are likely just as desperate to not be sitting in their car all morning and all night. So, caller, you just might be sitting on a gold mine. Thank you again for taking the time to call in. Now, folks, before we move on to the next entry, I thought it would be fun to explore some of the explanations given for these mysterious glitches in time. And according to Medium, these are some of the frontrunners. Now, in theory, quantum mechanics lays the groundwork for parallel universes. Time slips are the result of crossing over into one of these planes of existence. Or there are wormholes, or black holes, the curvature of space-time, as theorized by Einstein. Time isn't absolute. It is not linear. Scientists don't really understand how any of that works. Or so we're told. There's also the concept of sacred ritual sites, as both natural and man-made portals. The Grand Canyon is thought to be one of these locations. Of course, there are spirits and their supernatural ability to manipulate time. A pretty vague theory, if you ask me. And then lastly, there's déjà vu, the malfunction of the brain's memory system, making you think you experienced missing time, when in reality it was just a glitch in your brain. Now, I've linked to the full article in the show notes if you'd like to explore the subject further. But the truth is, there's not much known about this phenomena. But that doesn't stop experiences from rolling in. Experiences like Phillips in Missouri.
Hello, Derek. This is Philip from Springfield, Missouri. And I'm now presently 70 years old. But when I was born in a little town of about 127 people, a town called Roscoe. When I was 10, we moved to Springfield. But when I was probably about 12, I went to Roscoe to spend a couple of weeks with relatives. And I had developed a wart on the back of my, my right hand. My grandpa noticed it and told me I should go to so-and-so's house, and he would remove it. So out of curiosity, my Uncle Ted took me to the house and introduced me to the gentleman, and we went in and told him about my wart. He looked at it. He kind of looked at it from different angles, and then he licked his thumb and rubbed it. And then he looked at it again from different angles and licked his thumb and rubbed it again. And he may have done it a third time, but I know he did it twice. Then he told me, he says, "Now, don't pay any attention to it. Don't play with it. Don't rub on it. Don't give it any attention." And he said, it'll come off in a few days. And sure enough, by the time I went home from vacation, it was gone. It had rotted off. And what made me think of this is this last episode, a gentleman called in the same thing from Appalachia. Anyway, I just thought that was strange. I never thought I'd be calling Monsters Among Us with a wart story, but there is one other quick story. A few episodes back, I remember a gentleman calling in saying he had, as a kid, he had laid down in bed, closed his eyes, opened his eyes, and the whole night had passed. Well, that same thing happened to me when I was probably a freshman in high school. I got in bed, laid down, covered up, closed my eyes, opened my eyes. It was daylight, and I was in the same position that I was when I laid down. Anyway, it's kind of strange, but I appreciate your program, and I've been listening for years, Derek. Thank you very much.
Thank you for calling in, Philip. Now, for those of you wondering why he's randomly talking about warts, a few years ago I had a wart on my thumb that didn't want to go away. And I shared a call that just so happened to discuss curing warts. So I brought mine up. Well, since I'd mentioned my little friend, many wart remedies have flooded my email inbox. And from time to time, advice is also included in calls like Phillip's. And for those of you wanting an update, I eventually had a doctor freeze it off for me. None of the home remedies I tried had any effect on the little guy. Anyway, this has unintentionally been Wart Talk. Now I'll be right back with more Slips in Time after this word from our sponsors.
Pretty widespread, high elevation snow. We've been getting the winds of one of the atmospheric rivers, so a stronger storm.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
And I just will caution before there's any repeat.
This sports update.
So sometimes it seems like these chunks of missing time are enough to make one lose grip on reality. Abel out of California just might fit that description. Welcome to the show, Abel.
Hey, good evening, Derek, and good evening to all you monsters out there. My name is Abel. I'm calling from Sacramento, California. My experience occurred while attending college at Chico State. So I was in my second semester of college. I had saved enough money to secure an apartment for myself. It was a two-bedroom, two-bathroom, which I was super excited to have. My roommate wouldn't move in for 2 months afterwards, just to wait for her lease to expire before she could move in. I love the freedom, and I love the balcony overlooking the courtyard. The only thing that bothered me was the construction noise, or what I thought was the construction noise. It was a rhythmic noise. I thought it was construction. I thought that I had moved into someplace near some construction site. It was a series of three clangs, like metal hitting against metal, like they were trying to drill some kind of foundation. And it had an echo, so it was very rhythmic. And I tried to ignore it. I did my best to ignore it. I kind of tuned it out for a bit, and then kind of odd things started happening. When I focused on it, or when it drew my attention, I should say, it would bother me. So this one night, I was tired of hearing it. I'm like, all right, let's go get some cereal. So I get up, I open the fridge, get the milk out, get my bowl out, and I hear this noise. And at this point, it's bothering me, but I don't know where it's coming from. So I stop what I'm doing, and I open up the balcony, and I just listen. And I can't figure out where it's coming from. So after that, I'm not sure what happened, but the next thing that I can remember is I'm laying in my bed, which is across from the balcony. It's like the opposite corner of the balcony. And I'm in my bed, wearing my shoes, realizing that I'm still hungry. So I get up, just kind of dazed, not really knowing that anything happened. I'm like, you know what? I gotta go for some cereal. And I walk into the kitchen, and there's a bowl of cereal still sitting next to the refrigerator. And, you know, I just think, oh, I'm so dumb. I made myself a bowl of cereal, and I just left it there. So that was the first occurrence. After that, I would hear the noise again, and the same lapse of time would occur. Like, I would hear it, I would try to figure out what's going on, and then I would snap to somewhere within the house, not somewhere else, just somewhere else, somewhere not where I was supposed to be within that time frame. Once I started to realize what was going on, it started to get kind of annoying, and not just annoying, kind of a sense of paranoia. This kept happening just infrequently enough that it didn't inspire some kind of sense of fear or anxiety. It just kept happening. But it eventually turned into something worse. And it was that sound that just made it worse every time. Eventually, my roommate did move in. And I would tell her about that sound, like, you know, there's construction nearby, I hope that doesn't bother you. She never heard it. I heard it. And I would open up the balcony door, I'm like, you really don't hear that? She's like, no. She didn't hear it, you know, that's fine. But it would be weird time skips. It manifested only at first in the apartment. I would hear that noise, and then I would be doing something and then revert back to my room without knowing what happened. So it eventually progressed to me going to work. My work was at least 7 miles from where I lived, and I was so bothered by this noise of construction, what I thought was construction, that I drove around every exit from our apartment complex trying to find out where this construction was coming from. And I could never find any new construction. I couldn't find where it was coming from, and it bothered me. It stuck with me. And it got to the point where I started developing like a paranoia, a frustration, just because I didn't know what was going on. I thought I was the only one hearing this. And the hardest part was when I was at work and I was having a really bad day, and I remember talking to a coworker just about what a shitty day that I had, and waking up in my shoes, fully dressed, on my bed, in my room, in my apartment, and freaking out that I had to get to work. And I was off. I didn't have to work that day. But I was freaking because I didn't know what day, what time. I had no idea. I had no sense of time. And I ran out to my parking spot, and my car was parked perfectly between a pole and the next car, just perfectly aligned. And it just bothered me. And I haven't talked to anybody. I don't want to talk to them because I sound crazy. It sounds insane. So then it gets worse. So I keep hearing this noise. And as the noise progresses, it's this rhythmic, like I said, it's this rhythmic clanging noise of what I can only think is construction. And I'm tired of it at this point. It's been going on for months. I'm so tired of it. It's just stressful, and I start to get this paranoia. I'm aware of the time jumps. I didn't know what those were. This is back in, God, what is it, 2009, while I was in college. And like, I had no idea. Like, I'm okay with paranormal stuff. Like, I understand that, but this is something completely different. I didn't understand what's going on. I would hear that noise, and I knew something wasn't right. I knew something was going to go wrong. I got into my car, and this was a manual car. It was a Honda Civic manual. I didn't know how to operate it. I looked at the stick shift. I looked at the radio. I looked at the steering wheel, and they looked alien to me. Just everything that I was looking at looked different. It didn't look the same. It wasn't anything that I was used to. For example, the radio console. I looked at it and it looked 2D. Like, there were no knobs. There was nothing tangible. It was just a flat surface. My stick shift was gone. I didn't even know how to operate my own vehicle. So I eventually just walked out of my car. I couldn't believe it. I called into work that day, and I just went to my room, and I'm like, this isn't happening. This can't be real. And as I'm walking back to my apartment complex, I see what I thought at that time, like, was just this guy in a suit, in a hat, sunglasses, standing where he shouldn't be. It was like in the middle of the parking complex where no one should be there. Like, he's next to the dumpster. Why would anyone just be sitting there? And I walked past him, and I tried to steal glances at him, and I couldn't see his face. It was just sunglasses, a hat, and a suit, and he had a briefcase next to him. And I had to walk around him to get to my apartment and try to steal glances. Like, I could tell that he was aware of my presence because he would move to try to avoid me seeing him fully. And what really bothered me, what really made me paranoid, is he would stick his hand over his ear as if talking to somebody or covering his face more, but it just seemed like he was like talking to somebody else. I could see his lips moving, so it just made me more paranoid to think that he was talking about me when we were the only ones in that parking lot. We were the only ones there. So that's when I developed like a sense of paranoia. Okay, so that happened. Flash forward a couple weeks. One of my best friends, she didn't drive a car. She asked me to take her to the mall in Chico. So I agreed. I had the day off and she wanted to go shopping. Should be a fine day, right? So I wake up, get ready. It's time for us to go. As I'm walking out of my apartment complex, I hear that noise again, and I'm just like, oh my God, no, please, not today. Not today. Get into my car. I look at my stereo, and it's just a flat 2D sticker decal. I'm like, all right, fine. I don't have time to deal with this. So I drive, I pick up my friend, and for all intents and purposes, we have a good time. We're talking, we're chatting. We're getting close to the mall, and it dawns on her, like, as we're talking, the conversation kind of starts to die down. She goes, hey, Abel, you haven't turned your radio on. And I tell her, yeah, because it's fake. And she kind of looks at me, like, worried. She goes, okay. I realize how paranoid and how delusional I sound, but that's how I saw it. And I get to a red light right before the Chico Mall, and I see this guy dressed in like Men in Black style, like just a suit, tie, slacks, briefcase, sunglasses. And this guy is standing in the divider between two ways of oncoming traffic, and there's no pedestrian crosswalk there. There's no reason that even like the homeless people that ask for money, they shouldn't be there. That's dangerous. So I see this guy standing there in full suit, and as I try to make eye contact with him, I try to look at him. He holds his hand up to his ear, and I can see his lips moving. I can't make out like skin color or anything like that. He's wearing gloves. I can see him in full detail. It's insane. And he just turns away from me. And I just recall what I said to my best friend. She's sitting there right next to me. Like, I must sound like a nut. It was so disturbing. And I keep going back to that. I'm just like, what was I going through? But anyways, that was one of the creepiest things, one of the most life-altering experiences that I had. Like, it just made me question a lot of things in my life. I didn't realize until later on about the whole glitch in the Matrix, Men in Black, which I didn't think about. Like, I understood, you know, paranormal stuff, ghosts. Like, I've been through that. I've experienced that. But this was something that just life-altering, I would say. But yeah, it really did shake me to the core. And honestly, I haven't told anybody this, like, only my most intimate partners, like, as we're, you know, pillow talk, trying to get to know each other better. But it's because, you know, you question your own sanity when you talk about this kind of stuff. And I've gone through worse, but since then, I've lost my house. I lost my house to COVID. I lost my partners to COVID. Like, I've been through it. What I experienced was like on a whole different level. I love your podcast. I love everything that you do. And I love listening to everybody else's stories. Thank you so much. And that's it. That's my story. Bye.
Thank you, Abel. And for the second time tonight, the MIB, the Men in Black, make an appearance. Now I wonder, Abel, were you a recent witness to strange lights in the sky? Have you been visited by non-human entities? Is there a reason why the Men in Black would want to silence you? Or, at the very least, confuse you? According to reports, most Men in Black encounters occur with witnesses of strange aerial activity. But sometimes they've been known to visit researchers who apparently get too close. So perhaps you fall into one of those two categories, Abel. But regardless, it is wild stuff. and I'm sorry that you had to go through all that. Now maybe we'll get lucky and the right listener will be tuning in tonight, and they can perhaps enlighten us on exactly what happened to you, Abel. But until then, we thank you again for taking the time to share that incredible series of events. Now folks, I bet I know what you're thinking. How could it possibly get any weirder than that? Well, when we come back from this final break, I'll show you, or rather tell you, how it just might. Don't touch that dial.
The IRS back taxes or have years of unfiled tax returns.
How whales talk to each other.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Absolutely terrific news over the weekend.
All right, folks, to close us out here this evening, please welcome Summer from Colorado.
Hey, Derek, this is Summer out of Colorado. I wanted to tell my quick story about a haunted theater, which still to this day has really made me nervous to think about, and I don't really like to talk about it a lot. I was a theater kid growing up, and in high school, we had to go to visiting school's theater performances, especially with plays, and my friend and I, we decided to go to a neighboring town's play one night, and we were running behind, and our friends texted us saying, hey, we already got you tickets, we're in the back row on the main floor. It was the winter time, and it was at 6, so the sun had already set, and what we thought was weird when we first got to the theater was that there were no lights on in the parking lot, and just the security lights in the building were on, just like the spotlights here and there along the hallways. And the entire parking lot was completely packed and no lights, which was just such a weird juxtaposition. And I started kind of getting worried and turned to my friend and was like, hey, I feel nervous about this. This seems weird. Do you think it was at a different school? And he's like, well, why would the entire parking lot be packed if it weren't here? Maybe they're just having an outage or, I don't know, a short. He wasn't worried at all, so I decided to just follow his lead, and we went into the school, and it just felt like I was underwater, like there was a lot of pressure around my body and my head, and it was so quiet, like just this very weird silence that I've never experienced before. And so we decide to walk down the hallway. We've been to that theater before. It's down this like super long hallway, which was really creepy because the middle of the hallways were completely dark. Like I said, just the security lights in the building were on. So like we kind of like ran down the hallway to each security light to get to this theater. And then by the time we get there, like the concession's not open. The ticket booth has the metal sheet that goes down, that's locked, like they're gone for the night. So literally the only light that was on that floor to enter the theater was on this metal gate to the ticket booth. It was ominous and weird, and I just didn't have a good gut feeling about it, and I wanted to leave. And my friend was like, no, humor me, let's just go into the theater, let's see if anyone's there. And I go, okay, well, let's go upstairs to the balcony so that we can, like, I don't know why. I don't even know why I suggested we went up to the balcony. Like, I was so terrified in this moment, and it almost was like both of us just decided randomly and weirdly that we were just going to go upstairs to the balcony. Up dark, freaking creepy-ass hallway up the stairwell that is completely dark. Like, who in their right mind would do that? And so we run up this dark hallway all the way up to the balcony, and I decide to go first. So I go in, and there's like a second set of stairs up to the balcony seating. And so I go up, but my friend just stays back at the doors, and I can tell that they're getting a lot more nervous than me at this point. And I walk in, and it's completely empty, Derek. The entire theater is completely empty, and all the house lights are on, and the red curtain across the stage is drawn with spotlights on it, like, just before a show starts. But I swear on my life, there wasn't a soul in the theater at all. Like, not on the balcony floor where we were at, not, and then, like, we looked down over the balcony onto the main floor, nothing was there. And so I turned to tell my friend that there's no one up here, and over the speakers, the loudest applause came on, like this weird studio sound of applause. And so we booked it back down the stairs onto the main floor, and we both just decide silently that we're going to try the main floor again. And usually in theaters, when you go through a door, there's like a first door, and then I guess a sound buffer, a little hallway, and then the actual door to the theater. And so when we went into the first set of doors on the main floor, it felt like, remember how I said there was all that pressure in the air and the atmosphere? It was gone, and it felt like I wasn't below water anymore. And then we could hear, like, laughing and crowd noise before we got into the main set of doors, and we opened them. And I swear to all of you listening right now, it was the middle of the play. And all the lights, the house lights were off, packed, full house, full stop. And it was in the middle of the scene, and there was an actress on stage, and there all these people around us looked super annoyed because we just, like, walked in with our mouths wide open, like, freaking out and, like, wanting to scream. But, like, now you're just thrust into this other timeline, it felt like. It felt like the play was going on at the same time as, like, whatever timeline we were on. And it was just so crazy, and our friends were there and on the back row, like, shushing us and, like, whispering and, like, waiting for us to come over. And me and my friend just sat there in shock the entire, like, I don't remember at all what the play was, what it was about, who the actors were, anything. Like, I was so in shock that whole entire time, and I just don't understand how that could be possible without it being some manipulation of time. Oh, and after the play, we go back into, like, that main hallway. All the lights are on. The concession stand is open. The ticket stand is open. We went over to the ticket stand. We asked them if they had been open that entire time, and they said yes. It's like we were just parallel or almost like the upside down to what was happening, and then, like, we caught up and, like, went back through. I don't know. I would love to hear your theories and anyone else's theories. Yeah, that's my story. I love the show. You do really great work here and let us all feel like it's a safe space to share our stories. So thanks, Derek.
Thank you, Summer. Now, I've been to a few live performances that felt like they were going to last forever. But that's a different type of time manipulation. But what a wild tale. And there's no mistaking it. It's not like there's a chance you dreamt all this. It sounds like it was impossible to go to the wrong theater. And you can't just usher in hundreds of audience members without tipping Summer and her friend off. And why would they, anyway? None of this seems to add up. So much so that it almost leaves us with no other explanations, other than paranormal ones. But whatever it was that happened to you that night, Summer, we can't thank you enough for sharing the experience here with us. So thank you again for calling in. Alright folks, that's going to do it for tonight. But before I go, Monsters Among Us podcast is written and produced by me, Derek Hayes. Copyright Red Crow Media. Additional support is provided by Sarah Carter Hayes and Delaney Bowers. All media used in this production is done so under the protection of fair use. Please give us a like and follow on our social media accounts and over at YouTube as well. And while you're at it, please leave us a rate and review wherever that sort of thing is possible. But only if it's going to be a good one. If you got beef, keep it to yourself. Don't forget you can catch the show every Saturday evening at 11 p.m. Eastern on the UnX Digital Network. Just visit unxnetwork.com to tune in. And finally, tonight's score was provided by Iron Cthulhu Apocalypse, Co.eg Music, and Carl Casey at White Bat Audio. Shadows in the Desert Hide Strangeness in the Borrego Triangle. Go watch it. Just visit BorregoTriangle.com to learn how. Be sure to visit our merch shop. For the next few days, everything is 20% off, at least for the rest of this week. And lastly, make sure you join me back here on Thursday for the next terrifying installment. Until then, keep yourself spooky and have a good night.
Think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims. Sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.